Well, just a couple of things before we dive in. Just want to let you know that we are continuing our Wednesday night services from 6:30 p.m. The past 2 weeks, I haven't been able to be there. We just haven't been feeling great in our family. So I will be there this Wednesday. And I wanted to thank Caroline and Mr. Pegg for leading the past 2 weeks as well. Thank you for being able to jump in and lead the charge and do a devo in prayer. And I understand it's a great time to be able to come together as the body of Christ and spend some time in prayer as well. So I'm looking forward to being here myself Wednesday night. And I'm also thankful that Matthew Wood was able to come and speak last week. He was here. He came and I had dinner with our family this past October, and just hearing his story about how the Lord has led him into full-time missions. He's been talking about this for a long, long time. For a couple years coming. He was in my youth group when I was at General Shepherd as a youth pastor. He attended Tyndale University for a while in Toronto, and he actually has been, I think it's either an electrician or a plumber. He's been getting his ticket doing that as well to be able to learn for the purpose of going overseas. So it's been years and years in the making of him learning to be able to do that. He even did tree planting in the summers. I know he didn't mention this last week, but in BC, he planted trees where he would sleep in one of those, you know, those tents that like barely cover your body. And like, this guy is built for the outdoors and for going to new places. And it's just amazing to see the calling that God has put on his life and how he is being able to be trained up and to go, and how they're focused on going to unreached people groups. And it was great to have him speak last week as well. I'm reminded of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 in the NIV that says, God wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's from 1 Timothy. That's the heart of God. And that's why people like Matt are going. But this isn't just for someone like Matt. This is for us in our local community. I sent out an email this week through MailChimp, and in it, if anyone read it, it said how, and I've actually seen it at a couple churches, when you leave the parking lot, there's a sign that says you are now entering the mission field. And it's just a great reminder that God actually has a call for all of us as Christians. And now, 2 weeks ago, when I was here preaching, I made the statement that we are either children of the devil or we are children of God. Do you guys remember me saying that? And so, spiritually speaking, there are only two families on the earth, the family of God and the family of Satan. And every person, regardless of heritage or background, belongs to one of these two families. And we must receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. This is what the Bible talks about, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to get to the Father, for us to be a part of the family of God. Now, the past few weeks, I've been reading a bit of a book on the life of Billy Graham. I was going to say Pastor Billy Graham, but I guess he was an evangelist, pastor for a while as well, but if there was ever a man that preached the need to accept Jesus, that's someone who comes to my mind, right? He was someone who really, I want to say, went after the importance of knowing Jesus and for the purpose of having a relationship with Christ on this earth, why we live, but also for the purpose and the point of heaven and to miss hell. He was someone who was very big on preaching that. Now, too many churches I found, they're afraid to use to talk about heaven and hell, really. And I even looked up, have heard many statistics, and I don't want to go into the statistics, but even of believing Christians, people that go to church, believe in God, apparently, there's about 40% of Christians that don't believe that there's a hell. But the Bible talks about heaven and it talks about hell. So we are this morning, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to say I even had a family member who previously attended a church here in Canada that because of the culture of not offending anyone, if you will, they wouldn't even use the words hell and they wouldn't use the word sin ever. They took it out of their vocabulary. So I asked the question, where does the body of Christ draw the lines between, if you will, being seeker-friendly and presenting the gospel? Or maybe I should say not presenting the gospel. You know what I'm saying? So this morning, this message is not at all to judge anyone or to speak against the body of Christ. That's not my point. My point for this morning is a couple things. One, for me as a preacher to learn and grow in this. Am I allowed to say that? I want to make sure that I'm preaching, that people know what I stand for, what I'm preaching. But also, as the body of Christ, for us to know what the scripture says about this topic. So we know what the Bible says, because I find a lot of people, I remember even a conversation a while ago, they said, oh, does the Bible actually even say anything about hell? And again, it makes me go, okay, what do you base your faith on? And are you reading the Bible? We can say, oh, God loves everyone. God is love. But again, without a balanced perspective of what the whole Word of God says, that statement can get distorted, right? So we want to make sure we have clarity on what the Word of God says about these topics. We need to be a church that, yes, can walk in love towards our neighbor in every situation and not be condemning, but lead them to Christ. But we need to uphold biblical truth and sound doctrine at the same time. And to me, they are one and the same. Truly walking in love means we walk to what the Bible says. We don't water down the Bible. We don't water down the Word of God. Amen? So that's my introduction. So before we dive in, let's bow with a word of prayer. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you into this place, that we'd be able to hear and learn from your word, just to know in confidence what your word says. Lord, we thank you that you have made us in your image, that we are made with this physical body in your image, but we're made with a soul, with our mind, will, and emotions, but we're made with spirits. We're made to be everlasting, eternal bodies as well. And Lord, thank you that you have made us this way, that we have a choice to be able to choose you, to follow you, to choose you for eternity. And I pray this message would speak to us and that we might walk out of here knowing your word, but also just be able to be empowered in all of our everyday conversations with friends and family who might not know you. And that we would have, if you will, revival within our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, every human being on the earth will have to face eternity one day. When a person dies, they're not, if you will, dead like a dog or like another animal. No, when a person dies, they face eternity. Then the righteousness, you know what? I'll read Matthew. Let's read Matthew chapter 25, verses 46. It says, then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. And in Revelation 20, verse 15, it says, anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. So again, the righteous enter into life eternal, and the unrighteous are cast into, the Bible uses the word hell, or the lake of fire, as we read here. And we should thank God for the revelation that his word gives us concerning heaven, because of those of us who have accepted Jesus as our Savior, we have been born again, and it means that we're going to be there one day. We're heaven bound if we're in Christ Jesus. And that's why I named this message, Heaven is a Destination. Right? Amen. Heaven is a destination. The revelation concerning heaven to us as Christians, it's good news. But we should also be thankful for the revelation of what the Bible says when it talks about hell as well. Those who don't know Jesus, they're not heaven bound. And we as Christians need to reach people with the gospel and let them know that there is a heaven to gain and that there's a hell to shun. Because just like the scripture that we just read right there, people who are unsaved die and leave this world, they go to eternal life, eternal punishment. And the Bible gives us some detail about hell in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to look at a number of scriptures and different situations and scenarios on this morning. So Mark chapter 9, verses 43 to 44. In the NIV, I have it. We're going to look at some scriptures in the NIV and the King James. But it says this: if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. Now in the King James Version, it says it kind of the same. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. So here we see that hell is an unquenchable fire. Now notice in verse 43, it says, if thy hand offend thee, to cut it off. Now we know, of course, that this verse isn't talking about the literal, we need to cut off your hand, your natural hand. It simply means that some things in this life need to be cut off, meaning we need to give them up. So for instance, it would be better for a person to accept Jesus and give up their life of sin and go to heaven than it would be to reject Jesus, hold on to sin, and go to hell. Again, what the Bible says, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. We also know that hell is everlasting punishment, as we read in Matthew 25:26. In many places of the Bible, we can read what hell is like. But the Bible also gives us some detail of the kinds of people who go there. All right? So Psalm 9:17 in the King James Version says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Notice this verse. It says, the wicked shall be turned into hell. Now, most people would agree that there ought to be an eternal dwelling place for people who are wicked, right? If people are wicked, we go, okay, these people need to go to that place. And I'm sure there's people all throughout history that we can think of and go, that person definitely belongs there. And there is that place. It is also a destination, not a destination resort, that's for sure. And I'm sorry to say that there have been many wicked and mean people who've lived on the earth whose eternal dwelling place, it's hell. Now the Bible says the wicked or the unredeemed go to hell in Psalm 9:17. You see, unless a person again is born again, whether acts wickedly on this earth or not, they cannot see the kingdom of God. Now in John 3:3, it says, Jesus answered to him and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Right? That's Jesus talking. That is a scripture that tells us this. So we know from the Bible that the wicked go to hell, but the rest of Psalm 9:17 says, all the nations that what? That forget God. You see, we don't have to be wicked to miss heaven and go to hell. All you have to do is fail to accept Jesus as your Savior and forget him. All you have to do is basically leave God out of your life. Just leave God out and neglect to accept Jesus as your Savior. And the Bible actually says that you will go to hell just as quickly as the worst wretch that ever walked the streets of your city. Now, some people have a hard time with this, I know. But God is a perfect judge. And yes, we live in the day of grace, where there is grace given to us, but we can't neglect the word, what the true word of God says. And it's simply accepting Jesus, because that's why he came, for us to make a free choice to follow him, to have a relationship with him. On the other hand, by accepting Jesus, even the worst sinner can be born again and miss hell and make heaven their home. And that is awesome news. I think of the man who was beside Jesus on the cross. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Even on that man's deathbed, he would have died within hours. Maybe less. He accepted Jesus. And maybe everyone here is saved today. Maybe not. If not, today is the day for salvation. I'm telling you, by the end of the sermon, you need to accept Jesus into your life. But there are others here that I truly believe the Lord wants us to hear his word for the purpose of meeting our family, a family or a friend who is in need of him. Amen? Now, there is a book, perhaps you've heard of it, of people who have achieved a certain degree of prominence in the arts and the sciences and business and in the professions. And it's called The Who's Who Book of Life. Have you heard of that book? It's a worldwide book. It's been around since the 1800s. Believe it or not, it's still around. There is a Canadian version even of The Who's Who, and you can find it online. Lately, they have been featuring people like actor Ryan Reynolds, or I might be pronouncing this name wrong, but Manjit Minhas, a lady, she was a dragon from Dragon's Den. So it takes different people from, you know, and put them on kind of a who's who list. But the Bible also gives, if you will, a who's who in hell, so to speak. For instance, it lists some of the unredeemed who will spend eternity in hell. And I want to read this scripture from Revelation 21, verse 8. It says this in the NIV. But the cowardly, in the King James it says the fearful, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. And this is the second death. Now, this scripture gives us a lot of kinds of unsaved people who will spend eternity in hell. We know that those who practice sin, they don't know the Lord. 1 John 3, verses 8, 6 to 8 says, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is righteous is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. So there is a life of holy living that comes from having a knowledge, from knowing Christ. And as we accept Jesus, grace covers all of those wrongs. And like I said, simply by asking Jesus into our heart, it can covers everything by grace. Everything we've ever done wrong. And God made us righteous. That's why Jesus died and rose again. He paid for our sins. He went to hell for us so that we don't have to as we accept him. And that is awesome. Now, the Bible says, without knowing Jesus as Savior, no one can see God. So I want to read a few more scriptures. In John 3:3, it says, Jesus replied, "Verily, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And John 14:6 says, Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So, but if a person never needs to go to hell, if he would just do what the Bible says and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So we learn from the Bible about some kinds of people, again, who went to hell. So we're going to look at a couple different other scriptures. So I want to read Luke 16, verses 19 to 23. We're going to cover a lot of scripture in this message. And this is the rich man and Lazarus. It says this: "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus by his side." So the rich man in this scripture, the rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. I want to point that out. Okay? He went to hell because he rejected God. He wasn't rich towards God. He left God out of his life and he didn't acknowledge him as the author of eternal life. He didn't help the poor. He didn't go out of his way. He was about selfish living, all about himself. He left God out of his life and didn't acknowledge God as the author of eternal life. We read in Luke 16:19-21, the rich man was dressed in purple and fine linen, and it says, lived in luxury every day, while the beggar Lazarus was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. The Bible says Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom, paradise, where he was comforted. But the rich man went to hell, where the Bible says, lift up his eyes, being in torment. So we know from the Bible that those people like this rich man who are tormented in hell today because they didn't accept God, acknowledge God in their lives. Right? We learn that from this story. Now I want to read Matthew 25. Verses 1 to 13, this is the parable of the 10 virgins, because there's another kind of person who the Bible says will spend eternity in hell. And it says this: At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, your lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us. us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet. Shut. Later, the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch because you do not know the day or the hour. Now, many people have read this parable and tried to build a doctrine out of it. But you can't build a doctrine on a parable. Now, usually in a parable, there's one main truth that the Lord is trying to get across to us. Now, in this passage, it's found, I believe it's found in verse 10, where it says, who were ready and went in with him to the wedding banquet. So the main truth the Lord wants to get across to us in these verses is to be ready for heaven as our eternal destination. This passage of scripture is simply talking about being ready. Ready for what? Ready to meet your master. In this parable, there were 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The 5 foolish virgins, they weren't bad people. They were wholesome people, but they just weren't ready to meet the bridegroom. And the Bible says, but he replied, truly I tell you, I don't know you. Talks about relationship. I don't know you. But we know that there are people in hell today who were good people, but they just weren't ready to meet their master. They never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Then there are people in hell like the rich man, again in Luke 16, who behaved wickedly and left God out of their lives. Now the Bible also says the fool will be cast into hell. And we're going to read from Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 20. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Now, there aren't too many people in the Bible that God calls a fool. There are a couple places. In chapter 14, verse 1, it says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. God calls the man who says there is no God a fool. And God called the farmer in this parable that we just read a fool as well. We don't want to be the fool. Luke 12, 18 to 20, I want to read this from the NIV. It says, then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and will build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Now this is an interesting verse because even though this was written a long time ago, this is the attitude of many people who live in the world today. People are laying up their treasures for themselves on the earth. In effect, they're saying, if you will, eat, drink, and be merry. Let's just enjoy the pleasures of life today and don't think about tomorrow. And people who live like that, they don't have any thought even of eternal life, eternal things. It goes on in verse 20, but God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And so I say, there is a heaven to gain and a hell to avoid. There's lots of scripture about this. Now, many people aren't aware of hell today, about when they die, where they will spend eternity. And this morning, I want to say, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, today is the day to make a choice of where you will go. Heaven and hell are both destinations. Now, this is good news for us as Christians today. And I'm here to remind us what we're living for. Why? Because heaven is a destination. It is the best news that you could possibly hear. Now, many sermons you will hear are all about living as a Christian today or as a person, how what the Bible is and says to us is relevant for living, because there's lots of amazing, amazing stuff that in the Bible that shows us how to live. But again, just like I said at the beginning, we can't neglect this main point as the body of Christ, as the church. Because heaven is a destination. I read a book a few years ago from Marie Woodworth Eder, and it said this: "Oh, the glorious sight that can never be expressed by mortal tongue. Heaven is a location. It is a real city. Its inhabitants are real and not imaginary. If people could see their loved ones in all their shining glory, they would never weep for them, but they would leave all and follow Jesus. They would let nothing keep them from meeting their loved ones in heaven, where they are shining in dazzling beauty around God's throne and watching to give welcome to the beautiful city. The half has never been told. It never can be told. It will take all eternity to tell of the redeeming love of the wonderful plan of redemption to this dying world. Dear readers, dear listeners, will you not give up and follow Jesus and meet me in that beautiful land where sorrow will never come?" Isn't that good news? Heaven is a destination. When you think of going, "Oh, I'm going on vacation to a place I've never been before." You might have not been there, but you know what you're looking forward to, right? You might remember me telling a story months ago how I was doing missions in India, and I met someone that said, "I don't believe in anything that I don't see." And he said, "I don't even believe that there's a country called Canada. Canada does not exist because I've never seen it." I was just like, okay, what? I said, "I'm Canadian. I'm from Canada. I have been there. I have walked the ground. My whole life has been there." And he's like, "Nope, there's no such thing as Canada. I've never been there. I don't believe that you exist. You can't tell me that there is a country called Canada." But I can tell him because I know the place, right? Now, we might have never, none of us have been, never been to heaven, but we can stand here today and go, heaven is a destination. Why? Because we know the truth of the Bible. We know the truth of living. The Bible is our map for this life. Basic truths before leaving Earth. It's awesome. Heaven is a destination. It's good news for us as believers. The reality for each of us is that we will spend eternity somewhere. We'll either spend eternity in heaven or we're going to spend it in hell. And God has made it our choice. While living on this earth, we choose. I even want to say, go to far. Now, please understand me when I say this. God does not send people to hell. It's our choice. And that either comes by accepting Jesus or it doesn't. Yes, Jesus is the judge at the end of this. Everyone believes in something, and I guarantee there is truth out there. And not everyone is right. Believing in God, you will have nothing to lose by believing in God and eternity to gain. Don't take the chance of rejecting Jesus and suffering eternity in hell. With everything inside of me, I'm telling you, I'm bursting at the seams of the reality of heaven and the lie that people think that this body, this life is all that there is. So this morning, I want to declare that evolution is a lie. People who believe that evolution is real and that this life is all that there is, they're deceived. Evolution is a theory, and there are thousands of scientists who debunk evolution from a scientific perspective. Jesus is an everyday reality that we can have. This life can be compared to one grain of sand on the beach, compared to the grain of sand on the endless beach of eternity in front of each one of us. This life is short. We need to know where we're going. It doesn't matter how old or young we are. Today is the day to make a decision to follow Jesus. If you know anyone that has lived for Christ and died, know that they just haven't passed away. Instead, they've passed on. To die is gain. To die is gain. Now, for us who are still alive and here on this earth, an old story is often repeated of a retiring missionary coming home to America on the same boat as the President of the United States, cheering crowds, a military band, a red carpet, banners, and the media welcomed the president home. But the missionary slipped off the ship, the same ship, unnoticed. Feeling self-pity and resentment, he began complaining to God. Then God gently reminded him, "But child, you're not home yet." When life gets tough, when you're overwhelmed with doubt, when you wonder if living for Christ is worth the effort, remember that you're not home yet. At death, you won't leave home. You'll go home. You will not be in heaven 2 seconds before you cry out, "Why did I place so much importance on things that were so temporary? What was I thinking? Why did I waste so much time and energy and concern on what wasn't going to last?" Romans 10:13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Amen. So this morning I say, if you have never accepted Jesus into your life, don't leave this building today without making Jesus Lord of your life, accepting it, asking him into your heart, accepting the free gift of salvation. Accepting Jesus into your life and making heaven your home, making heaven your destination place. Now, this sermon is in no way the purpose to scare anyone to go to heaven. I don't read scriptures about hell to scare someone into going to heaven. Now, at the same time, not that I'm against that, don't get me wrong. We need a bit of fear of the Lord in our country, in our lives. But I am here to say that God is not mad at you. He's not disappointed with you. He's not angry at you. He loves you. And he even likes you. He enjoys you. He enjoys your presence. You bring him joy. You bring the God of the universe delight. He delights in you. When you accept Jesus, you're not defined by yesterday. You're not defined by your failures. Why? Because the blood of Jesus has paid for it all, and we are covered by the grace of God and made perfect in him. When we should have been on the cross, Jesus died on the cross for us. And in turn, he says, Jesus loved you so much that he took your place on that cross. When we deserve eternity in hell, he gives us eternity in heaven. And like I said at the beginning of the service, if this isn't for someone here this morning, this is for all of us to go out and to live, to be the light of the world, to be an encouragement to those around us. And maybe even just like the thief on the cross, to bring someone to the Lord in their last hours. Don't stop praying for those who don't know Jesus, for your unsaved friends and family members. There's so much power in prayer. God wants them saved. He wants to know them. Probably more than we even know. Is it God's will that we know him and come to know him? Yes. So why wouldn't he give us the power tools to pray and to speak and to say the right things? We're his hands and his feet. So we need to the work of Jesus. Heaven is a destination. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word that shows us how to live, Lord. It shows us truth. Lord, thank you that you do not force us to try and make a decision on you, but you give us the freedom. You want us to freely say, Jesus, I love you. I accept you. I want to know you. Lord, we give to you our imperfection, and we lay it all down at the foot of the cross. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have paid for all of our mistakes, all of our failures. And you still say, come. And as I continue this prayer, I just encourage, you know what? Let everyone in the church repeat after me. And if there's anyone who has never said this prayer before in their life, and you're saying it for the first time, you can accept Jesus through this prayer. Okay? Let's pray together. Say, dear God, I want to be a part of your family. You said in your word that if I acknowledge that you raised Jesus from the dead and I accept you as Lord and Savior, that I would be saved. So God, I say now that I believe you raised Jesus from the dead, that he is alive and well. I accept him now as my personal Lord and Savior. I accept my salvation from sin right now. I am now saved. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me and saving me and giving me eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope, I trust that the Lord has ministered to you through this message this morning. And if you have prayed that prayer for the first time, or recommitted your life to the Lord, or just, you know, just make sure you tell someone this morning, someone else here, tell myself, tell a leader here at this church. It's the greatest decision you could ever, ever make in this lifetime. I want to invite the worship team.